This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
It is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John, how about this? John, Charlie, and Billy all in our Gauss studios in Houston, Texas. Billy came just to be on the show this morning. Charlie can't even make the show usually, and here you come all the way to Houston.
All the way from California, boy.
How about this?
Yeah.
Great to have him in. How about this guy?
Good caddying for Charlie, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're Charlie's caddy.
We're honored to have a Harmon in studio.
Hey, I like that. That's right.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's good to have him here. To see Billy once again. And everything is good?
Everything is good. I had a colonoscopy done yesterday.
You did?
Henderson, so I'm happy to have
that
over. So I got some more testing Monday and Tuesday, but I feel great. Everything's been looking good.
Good for you. We're
up and running.
We are thrilled about that. Let's talk a little bit about golf. And this weekend, you've got a couple of guys out there. One is contended. One it didn't play all that great this weekend. So what kind of teacher are you this weekend, Bill?
Well, we were just talking about that. I work a little bit with Webb Simpson and Bill Haas. And Bill missed a cut, and Webb's doing pretty good. He's 4 under. And Charlie and I were talking before the show that it's interesting when you teach people, which teacher am I? Am I the guy that taught the guy who missed a cut or the guy who's playing well? I will tell you that I'm more upset by Bill missing the cut. So I think I'm probably, in my mind, the guy that taught the guy that missed the cut. Because you always wonder about the people that you're not helping or for whatever reasons I didn't get through to them this week because I was there a couple days. So you always are asking yourself why whatever you're working on didn't work. I think that's the existence of the teacher or a coach in any sport, actually.
How am I doing? My guy's not even on the tour. I took him from winning 2 majors.
Well, that's because you're not out there anymore. That's why.
That's why. Yes.
Well, but were the highs with Angel better than the lows when he wasn't playing badly?
The lows are hard to take.
Yeah.
Yep. The highs you enjoy, but you know, as a teacher, you don't want to see your guys, you know, not doing what they should be doing or could be doing. You know, you really want them to play so badly, you know, it's so well
it's hard. A coach always says, basketball or football coach, that you don't enjoy the wins nearly as much as you commiserate and hate the losses.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think that the wins, quite frankly, are so few and far between in our sport.
Yeah.
And the disappointments, and there's something about golf that you somehow remember the bad stuff more than you exalt in the good stuff. And if you're teaching somebody, if they do well, it's almost like that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to help them. And if they're not doing well, you can't help but take it personally. And at least I hope the teachers out there are trying to figure out what they could do better. Charlie and I both know that regardless of how well we teach, if they don't putt well, it's not going to make any difference. And that to me is as I've been to the Masters now and the Players, I truly believe that the last great advantage left in professional golf is being a good putter. Everybody hits it long. Length isn't the advantage that it once was in professional golf. They're all pretty darn good wedge players. So it all comes down to putting. You know, if you listen to Jordan Spieth in the last few weeks, it's not putting as well as I used to. Of course, nobody ever putted like he did in 2015. Mm-hmm.
But, Bill, when are these guys going to realize that powerlifting and lifting weights can influence your touch and feel in the short game?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Rory, how many majors did he win? Then all of a sudden he's redoing his body. You look at Tiger, what weightlifting did to him. I mean, come on, guys. You know, here Jordan Spieth had just an incredible year 2 years ago, and he really wanted to get better, and he's gotten worse.
Yeah. Is he doing that too, though, or is he just
exercising? Yeah. No, just look at these guys. They're all out there overworking. And change. I mean, golf is not, you know, you don't win a golf tournament in the gym.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, look at Nick. Look at Trevino.
Well, it's an interesting question because in our field, so many players believe they're doing the right thing, which is to get better. And so many good players think that they now have to perfect this thing and they get worse. And I have felt for years that once you become a good player, your mentor should be self-knowledge, life, and experience. And keep doing what you're doing and just keep learning about yourself, learning about the different courses. You don't have to change technique dramatically. You don't have to change your body dramatically. I think their inspiration is good. They're trying to be better. But they're messing with a very intricate thing. This field system for good players is so complex and so intricate. We can try to quantify it all we want with TrackMan and BodyTrack and all this stuff. It goes way beyond that, in my opinion. And the good players, you start crisscrossing their wires. And to your point, Charlie, you start changing your body dramatically. Butch said this 20 years ago, before it became kind of vogue to work on your body, that Tiger's body would change every time Butch would see him. And what they worked on the last time, they couldn't work on this time because his body couldn't do it.
Mm. Yep.
And back then, that was a totally new experience for any teacher. So it's a very interesting point, I think.
Well, everybody should just act like John Daly. You know what? I don't think he's out there lifting weights, do you? And look at John Daly winning last week right here in the city of Houston, Charlie.
Unbelievable. I mean,
Billy, you must have been thrilled about that.
I have no comment on that.
I mean, he is an incredible athlete.
Yes,
in
he is.
One sense. I mean, he can do things that normal guy can't. I went out and watched him, and I still can't believe some of the shots that he hits.
Still gets that body turn. Still gets that the club all the way. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's physically gifted.
Yep.
Unbelievably physically gifted because I've always felt, even with his big, long, whatever kind of wild swing you want to call it, he hits the ball beautifully. He hits a lot of quality golf shots. And the two things I love about his swing actually is the fullness of it. And he never seems to be guiding the ball. It's not marred by fear or thought. So usually guys like that, when they get in contention, can handle it because they're not swing geeks or swing mechanics. They're just playing. If their swing is on, they'll keep it on.
I was out there all week long, and I go back to the first time I ever saw Freddie Couples hit a golf shot, and I still can't believe the way he can hit a golf ball. I mean, the 17th hole on Sunday is a real difficult hole in that the pin was way back left, and Freddie hit a shot that everybody was hitting it in the water, not coming within 50 feet, and he takes this elegant swing and hits it in there about 12 feet. Prettiest shot I've ever seen. I mean, how many weights do you think he's lifted, Bill?
Can't.
Well, they've been in the 16-ounce form.
No.
How about your student, Jay Haas?
63 years old, finished fifth maybe last week. Shot 134 on the weekend.
Is he powerlifting?
No.
No.
No. And he's lasted a long time. Long time.
And these guys that are lifting aren't lasting. Their bodies are breaking down.
Well, we don't know. You know, I had a conversation at the Masters with Jay Haas and Paul Casey about what would a 41-year-old Tiger tell a 21-year-old Tiger. Mm-hmm. It may also tell him, don't change a thing. You won 79 times in 14 majors.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe. But you would think right now, I wonder what Tiger really feels. If he would have changed some things. Because we all look back on our lives and look at things we would have changed. And, you know, his body is in the present condition that it's in. At age 41, it's highly unusual for a golfer to be finished. And he may be finished physically. I can't think of any other player, great player, that was finished at age 40 or 41. Can you, Charlie? Literally career over. You know, multiple winner.
The one guy I've never been able to figure out is Nick Faldo. He was close to that age when it just kind of disappeared for him. I mean, his last win was 1997, at the L.A. Open, and I don't know, he never won after that.
But I don't think it was a physical thing. He just might have been burnt out. Maybe.
Could well have been. All right, we've got one in and three to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. Glad you could join us. We're all three in studio here in Houston. Don't you go anywhere.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and internationalproam.com.
The best pro-am you can play in December in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Casa Magna Marriott, three beautiful golf courses. The weather is outstanding. The Mexican hospitality is second to none. So if you want to reward yourself, log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com. Get all the information and join me in December in Puerto Vallarta with Billy Sitton and his beautiful wife that went run a tournament for almost 700 people. We get 100 teams.
That's awesome.
And it's so well organized, and it's so come see me.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome. So get on over there, internationalproam.com. All right, let's talk about this tournament, guys. What a leaderboard, especially with a Vijay Singh up there near the top. What's going on with this leaderboard?
Well, he's motivated. You know, he's suing the tour, you know, for some things that he was accused of doing. But the fact of the matter is, and he spent a lot of time at that golf course, but if you watch Vijay hit balls on the range, he can still hit it with the best of them. I mean, and he is, he's accurate. He's a good iron player. And this tournament course here is so intimidating if you really let it get to you. And that experience is to his advantage.
Yeah, but does he have the lasting power, Bill, to stay here all weekend?
Well, I think it's going to probably be his putting. I think this golf course lends itself to Champions Tour players. I bet if you had the top 15 or 20 Champions Tour players in this event, at least half of them would make the cut, and you'd find three or four of them contending, because although every course distance is an advantage to an extent, it's less on this course as a championship course goes, and I believe it is a championship course. It only rewards good shots. And every hole, there's a double bogey lurking, and every hole there's a birdie lurking if you hit a good shot. So it's a golf course where you have to go from point A to point B. And you've got to put it in the right positions, and you have to be an expert iron player to get the ball in the right areas of the green or on the right shelf. I love this course, really. The more I'm around the Players Club, the more I've grown to appreciate it. It's a shot maker's heaven. But if you're a little bit off and if the wind blows at all, it can be treacherous. And I really think the leaderboard to me is quite interesting, because other than Oosthuizen, we don't really have a whole lot of stars up there, to be honest with you. It's a collection of all good players, because you couldn't be in this tournament unless you were a good player. But you've got to go quite a ways down to find one of the superstars, and that would be Adam Scott, I guess, at 2 under par, and he's in 23rd place. And then you go to Stenson and Day are also 2 under, and Mickelson. So all the superstars are hanging out between even and 2 under par. But the one big story, I think, for missing the cut is Jordan Spieth. I'd have to say I was very surprised. At the start of the week, he said his long game was terrific. It's been his putting and short game that's let him down this year. And this is a ball striker's paradise, and so I was a little surprised that he missed the cut, to be honest with you.
He's missed the cut the last 3 years.
Yes, he has, yeah.
His first tournament, he finished fourth.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes a tournament gets into a guy's head, and I was really surprised. You know, he got a bad break. Bunker wasn't raked correctly. And Mickelson told him to take a picture so they can send it to the commissioner and complain. It wasn't perfect. Poor baby.
Well, it's got to tick you off if you get up there dude and the guy in front of you didn't rank the bunker.
Well, that part of it actually is inexcusable for a tour caddy to rake a bunker improperly because I put that on the player. The player should have a caddy that he knows is going to do the right thing. So from what I understand, it was the caddy of one of Jordan's best friends and childhood friends, Cody Gribble's caddy. So I wonder if that was done purposely. Only kidding.
But how did they know he was going to land there?
Yeah. Right. Well,
only kidding on that other stuff, by the way. I think that bad breaks are part of golf, but I think something like that, it's inexcusable on the caddy's part to be that lazy about raking a bunker. I think you should know enough about the game, and the etiquette of the game is you always leave the conditions better for the next person.
I'm picking already, guys. Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep,
his temperament, his demeanor, the way he cool, calm, and collected. It's straight hitter. He's not a bomber.
He used to be until he hurt his back.
Yeah.
No, I think he would be a good pick. In fact, when he lost the playoff there at Innisbrook.
Yes.
I was taken by, the person who was interviewing him was trying to bring up the good stuff. You've kept your playing privileges, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't want to hear it. He was upset that he hadn't won the tournament. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that when a player, all that other stuff is great, but 5 minutes ago I was in a playoff to win this tournament, and I didn't win the tournament. And that's what I'm thinking about as I—
Most real good players won't justify losing.
I agree.
Right.
So I kind of like that. It was different in his case because he needed good finishes to keep his card on his medical.
Yeah.
And so he could have been ecstatic, and he wasn't. He was upset that he hadn't won, and that kind of showed me that he plays to win. So I think, Charlie, that could be a good pick.
Well, speaking of which, Ian Poulter, who had a technicality keep him on the tour, and he's up there near the top.
Yeah, that's quite a story.
That's quite a story.
And my hat's off to him. I mean, he's a journeyman golfer that really came out of nowhere with, I would say, not all the talent in the world. But he had a lot of pride, and he won two match play tournaments. That's his only victories on the PGA Tour. But
he's a good match play player. We know that from the Ryder Cup, don't we?
Yes, he is. And I'm looking at some of the early scores, and almost everybody is even or under par starting out today. So the course must be softening, and they're expecting thunderstorms coming in this afternoon. They don't believe they'll finish if the weatherman is correct. But the leaderboard, if you go down the list, other than Louis, you got Kyle Stanley, who's kind of on the comeback trail. Holmes is a good player. VJ, David Hearn's never won on the PGA Tour. Cabrera Bayo's never won on this tour. Cantley's never won. Norn's never won. Reavy, I believe, has won once. But then we get down to Rahm. He's a good player. But by and large, the leaderboard is not filled with superstars.
See, Rahm is blessed in one area. He doesn't have to lift weights to be strong.
Yeah, he's a big kid, boy, I'll tell you. Very big kid.
You saw him this week. He's
big.
He's huge.
He's big. I understand in college he would stack up the pizza boxes in his apartment, and he'd have three or four rows going all the way to the ceiling. They said he was a prolific eater in college. And he had a nickname that had something to do with his weight.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's a
great story.
I'll tell you what, I'm in a fantasy league, and every week you got to take him because he's just at the top of leaderboards. That's what he does. That's what he does every week. All right, we've got two win. It's halftime of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. And don't forget about internationalproam.com. You're looking for something to do in December. How about a great tournament down in Puerto Vallarta? Taking a break. Two to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. The three of us here in studio in Houston, Texas, in the Gao Media Building, here in lovely the Galleria area in Houston. And we got we'll take some calls if you want to get in here. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907 is the number to hang out with us if you'd like to. If you'd like to call, you're more than welcome to do that. We're just looking at this leaderboard, and it's just crazy with the names that we've got up here this week, guys. And the guys that are at the top of this leaderboard, you're going to the bummer is that, you know, how interesting is it going to be for people without any star power up there?
Well, I think it's the type of course that you can come from way behind. So the Adam Scotts and the Rorys and Jason Days and Vicky Fowlers and Sergio and Justin Rose, they're all back there between 7 and 9 shots back. So they're going to have to shoot, I would think, at least 4 or 5 under today to have a chance if the course plays similar to the way it played the first 2 days. It's a very hard course to play in the lead. Having said that, Louis is kind of a nerveless kind of guy, Oosthuizen. So he's the type of guy to me, Charlie, you've probably seen him more than I, but seems like when it's his turn to win a tournament, he wins it. He's not a nervous Nelly at all, and this is a golf course that you don't want to be a nervous Nelly on.
He feels more at home on his tractor than he does on the golf course. And I'm surprised he hasn't won more.
Yeah.
I mean, when he won the British Open, he opened up with 63 and just blew away the field. And, you know, he lost in a playoff to Bubba at Augusta. But he does have back issues. But he would be one that would could bring it home this weekend. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon with the weather. The weather could upset the apple cart. But, you know, I think back to the way Ricky Fowler finished. What did he finish? 3-2, 3-3, some ridiculous amount. You know, I mean, that can happen. You can go 6 under the last 6 holes, and the leader can go 2 over, and all of a sudden you got an 8-shot swing. So
well, and look what he did on 17, and look what he did Thursday. He knocked it close, and he lipped out the putt. That's the difference between being the champion and, of course, hitting that tree and having the double bogey a little bit later in the round didn't help him at all. But that's the difference. What did he birdie it 5 out of 6 times that he played it last year?
Once again, they're so far back, you know, so they have to play good today. They don't have any choice. They have to shoot 4, 5, or 6 under, I think, to get back in. I just don't see Louis backing up. I think you're going to have to beat him. He's one of those guys that when he's on, he's on. And he doesn't seem to have a pulse. And his coach, Peter Cowan, said it's family first, farming second, and golf a distant third. So guys like that that have the game in perspective tend not to choke as much. Wouldn't you say, Charlie? Doesn't seem to live and die for golf.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make it more important than it really is. And they're okay with their lot in life if they don't win. Big deal.
Oh, well, here we go.
I think he was in that group, too, that lost at Chambers Bay by a shot for the U.S. Open.
He was in there, yes.
When Jordan won that one. So he's been there. He's been in the mix quite a few times. He's not adverse to pressure. He can handle it. So I think it's his tournament to win or lose, to be honest with you.
Let's get Frankie in here in Nashville. He wants to talk on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, fellas. Show, man. I'm a huge fan. Talk to you about some of the extensions of golf, things like Golden Tee and miniature golf. What do you think other things can spawn the extension of the golf game? Like, do you think there is party that can go on?
Well, I think what they tried last week on the European Tour, the Sixes, where they turned it into more of a carnival type atmosphere where they had the shot clock and they had the different formats and they, you know, I think a couple of those could get the younger generation involved in the game. Top Golf has set all sorts of records for creating golf shots and people hitting
and fun.
It. But how many turn in to be golfers? I'm not sure. How old are you?
Can I ask you this real quick question? Have you ever played Golden Tee?
Yes.
Golden Tee, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've played quite a bit. It's fun.
What's your high score?
My low score? I don't know, 19 or something. I mean,
19 on Golden Tee?
Yeah, heck
Come
yeah.
On, for real.
No, really. Are you kidding? These guys are shooting 24 under. They're crazy, these guys. They're unbelievable how good they are. We used to play a lot.
I can't understand.
Something's wrong with your phone there. I will say this. FIFA has done an unbelievable, and I don't think he's talking about playing more. I think more interest in the game.
Yeah.
Because you see soccer in the United States today, it is really taken off because FIFA is such a great video game.
Yeah.
I know in my house, it has really spurred my son's interest in soccer because he loves that game so much. And now he watches soccer. He watches La Liga, Ronaldo and Messi, and he's just enthralled with it because that's such a great game. If golf could have a great game, now Golden Tee is in every bar in the country,
right?
And it really, but I don't know that it has spurred the interest in the game of golf like that.
Yeah,
that's the issue. I think, Charlie, we have a lot of problems with getting people involved in golf. The expense, it's an expensive sport. It's very time consuming. You know, we love it, and it's been our lives and stuff. But I can kind of see where people are not drawn to it. It's a very expensive sport. You know, if your child wanted to play golf, the money that you'd have to invest to get him a good set of clubs, good shoes, balls, the expense of playing around a golf. I think our industry has issues. I really do. I really do.
My grandson is involved in Little League. You talk about time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about expense. I mean, you're talking – I mean, it's – everything has its downsides, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
I think golf is a niche game, and you know it's not for everybody because of certain likes and dislikes. So I think if you continue living, you know, the game of golf, you know, whether you grow up being a caddy, you grow up around the golf course, that's how you create golfers. I mean,
well, it didn't hurt to have Tiger now. I mean, didn't he revolutionize it? He opened it up to an entire market that was never,
you know,
involved in golf.
I saw an interesting picture. I was at Butch's teaching facility last month, and he had a picture of the tour school that he made in 1970. It's when Butch qualified for the tour. And there were 7 African-Americans that qualified.
Hmm.
Today there are 2 African Americans playing the tour, and Tiger's not playing. So Harold Varner is the only other African American. So this notion that Tiger opened up the game for the minorities, et cetera, I don't know if that's true or not.
But well, maybe not the professional level.
But once again, it could be back to the time, the expense, and things like that, that even his incredible fame and what he did for the game can't really overcome the realities of our sport. You know, I don't care who you are. You want your kid to have the best stuff. It's just the way we are. But you look at a driver, it's $500. Well, some people don't make $2,000, $3,000 a month. How can you justify $500 for a driver?
$300.
So I think it's a difficult
–
I think our sport has a difficult time. And I think these Top Golfs and all the things that you've talked about are a nice way to segue into the game, and then you'll find out if these people are interested in playing or not. But the ones that aren't can still have fun at these places, and the game, in a way, is still being promoted. I think it actually is a very good thing for the game, but it will also keep the non-golfer off the course, which is okay, too, because if they don't know how to play and they don't know the etiquette, they're just going to ruin the game.
I saw Seth Curry interviewed on Faraday.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he was influenced in watching Tiger as a young boy, and that they wanted to, you know, he wanted to emulate, you know, so. But, you know, life is full of choices, and you just got to make them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think Tiger influenced it, maybe not at the professional level, but certainly we've seen it open up to a lot more people. Whether or not they could stay is another question. Whether or not people could afford it and enjoyed it enough to have it as a lifelong pleasure is another story. All right, we've got 3 in and 1 to go on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
All right, it's the final segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. John Granato, Billy Harmon, Charlie Epps. in our Houston studios here. Tom is our producer, and we appreciate you being here with us.
We appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, you make it a lot easier on me. Being a host and you're not a radio person, and I can hear Billy every time I screw up. What are you doing? Consciously. Incompetent.
So, Charlie's like Yogi Berra. You know, he says this stuff that I understand what he's saying, but nobody else understands it, you see. He's the Yogi Berra of talk radio, Charlie Epps.
So you guys have both been there. You're standing on 17, either being a caddy for Jay or Charlie, standing there with that club in your hand. What, you know, what makes it, and it's so, with my co-hosts during the week were making fun. Oh, it's so hard. If there was no water there, they'd all hit the green and blah, 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 and we got to hear about how hard it is and everything else. Tell me what it's like standing on 17 with a 15-mile-an-hour wind coming at you.
You know, in metal play, where you have to count every shot, and you know it can add up real quick, it's intimidating. It gets into your mind. And you know, if you just mishit it 2 yards, you're going to make a five. So it's mentally, it's tasking. It's amazing, but it does, and it gets all the great players.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Mickelson yesterday, Spieth. They hit a pretty good shot in there, Bill, and it skips and goes back. So you can't play conservative, but if you get aggressive, you're going to go in the water.
I think there's two things that make it really hard. And the thing that makes it the hardest to me is there's no depth perception behind
right.
the hole. There's a lake, and then the land and the trees might be 50, 60 yards away. So every other shot they hit in a round of golf, the back of the green is either surrounded by people or mounds or trees, and the hole is kind of framed. There's no frame to this hole. It just sits out there in the middle of this lake. And what doesn't show up on TV, and you can barely see it in person, is – once you get to that top back left tier, it slopes away from you just ever so much. So the shots that Mickelson and Jordan Spieth hit yesterday with wedges off a tee usually will hit and spin back.
Mm-hmm.
These things take one huge bounce, and then they release. And I'll guarantee both guys, when their ball was in the air, had no idea it was going to be in the water. But I think the hardest part about that hole, because I've caddied there maybe a dozen times, is the lack of depth perception behind the green. And as you're standing there, you know anything long is gone. If the wind is into you, anything mishit is gone. But I still think the hardest part is the visual part. You don't see as many shots hitting the water left or right. They're either short or long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in an age where we have yardages to the inch, and they're hitting wedges and nine irons off a tee, I think visually it intimidates the player, and they're just not comfortable, and they're never sure that they have the right club in their hand.
Now, when you were caddying for Jay and all that, over on 16 green,
yep.
were you eyeballing 17 already?
You betcha. But the one year that Jay finished tied for second with Harrington, the wind was blowing so hard that we had hit 6 iron into 17.
6 iron?
Yes. And at that stage, we were shot behind second. I think second place was 800,000. And, you know, we were in contention all week long. And it would have been very easy to go triple bogey, because 18 was going to be into the same wind. And so that was the scariest, most nervous I've ever been on a golf shot in my life, when he was hitting that iron shot to 17. Harrington had the honor, and he had a 7-iron. And he just carried the right side by that bunker, and it trickled down up against that fringe just short of the water. And Jay ended up hitting a beautiful 6-iron in the middle of the green about 30 feet left of the hole. But we could have been there all day hitting shots and maybe not hit the green.
When he hit the green, did you relax?
I did more than that.
You know, now, as a caddy, part of your compensation is based on the performance of the player. You get a percentage of the results.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you just said, second place is worth $800,000.
Something like that back then, yeah.
You know, and you get a percentage of that. And are you thinking money then?
I don't know if you're thinking money. On that golf course, you're thinking about what can happen the last 2 holes. You could go double, triple, or triple, triple and not hit that bad a shot. And so now 18, Jay hit a good drive, and he had to hit a 3-iron. And even that we couldn't get to the green. So that's how hard the wind was blowing. So even though we didn't have a chance to win, we could have easily gone from making $700,000 or $800,000 to making $80,000 or $90,000 with a bad finish, with not that bad a shot. So that's why I believe that this tournament is a major because of its history. And we can now recite a lot of the things, the finishes that we've seen.
34 years.
The golf course is more exciting at the finish than Augusta National is, and that's saying something. We've got the best field in golf. Hard to believe we don't have the best leaderboard right now, but the tournament is young.
Did you ever yell at Jay for costing you money with a putt on 18?
Never. Ever.
Ever once? Never want to?
Never once. Ever. Not to him, anyway. Maybe to myself.
Maybe. Damn. You know what that putt just cost me?
Ever.
You know what that putt just cost me? All right, we're done. Guys, who you got this week?
Cantlay.
All right, I got Kyle Stanley.
Wow. I got to go with Louis. I know I'm not reaching there, but I'm going to go with Louis.
Louis Oosthuizen. Got it. We're done. Tom, thank you. We appreciate it. Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. We'll talk to you again next week.